or at the same time, the website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today on More to Life, when you need to negotiate, working through differences can be a challenge when you both want different things. So today, we'll examine what it takes to make sure you and your partner come out on top every time.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Hey there, folks. You are listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking with you today about those times when you need to negotiate stuff.
Yeah, well, I wish that, you know, Greece had you over there. We should fly you over and help them negotiate things so that all of us can have, you know, sound financial.
Because I'm great at negotiating economic policy.
Well, you know what? I don't think it has anything to do with economic policy. I think it has the same thing to do with what we all have trouble with when we're negotiating. It's pride. It's wanting your own way. It's being stubborn about it's this way or no way. It's getting childlike and pouting. And whether you're, you know, a world leader or you're somebody's spouse or somebody's kid who's giving them a hard time, negotiating what you need to live life in a healthy, happy, holy way can be really, really tough when you're dealing with people who seem to just want to stand in front of that and block your way.
And be childish. Yeah, that's right. I don't know how many of our listeners are necessarily following the story. Of course, it's a huge story in the news over this past weekend. Greece is basically sucking the entire EU down the tubes because of the amount of debt that it has, and they have to impose very draconian economic measures. The banks have been closed in Greece for all of for the last week. No one can get their money. No one can pay their bills. It's horrible. It's a horrible situation. And they needed to approve a plan, an austerity plan for the entire country to pay back their national debt and their personal debt because everybody's credit cards are so overrun there. And they voted it down. Mm-hmm. And the prime minister asked the people of Greece to vote it down so that he would be able to go back to various creditors and try to negotiate a better deal. I don't know how that works. I mean, if the bank is going to foreclose on my house and I intentionally don't pay them even more than I wasn't paying them already.
And then I say, now quote me a bigger loan. I don't know. It doesn't work that way here in the States. In the States, you end up not living in your home.
But, I mean, it's a major crisis that could land the entire world in an economic catastrophe.
I want to be cautious about scaring people with that because I was listening to an economic leader on the BBC, and he said, look, he said, this is a country that is about the size of North Carolina. I think we're going to be fine. Huh. But that said, what affects one member of a family affects
the whole
every
family.
Member
and
of
the family.
And
that's true whether we're talking about the family of nations or our personal family. Now, as I said, this isn't a show about international politics or economics, but we do like to try to take our cue from what's going on in the world and say, well, you know, on a small level, you know, in our own homes, in our own lives, you know, what can we learn from this? And one of the things that we can learn by watching the news is the need to negotiate. You know, we understand family, as Catholics, we understand family as the basic unit of civilization. It's the basic unit of society. And the Church teaches us that as the family goes, so goes the world. And if we don't know how to negotiate in our own homes, and we're not teaching our children the steps of healthy negotiation, you know, then you end up with a whole lot of stupid people making stupid decisions on the world stage as well. I know that might sound like a leap, but it's really not, because let's face it, where do we learn how to negotiate? In the family school of love. And that is what the theology of the body reminds us of. It all comes down to family in the end. It all comes down to the lessons we learn as we fight over that truck with our brother and that toy with our sister.
Whether it's the toy truck when you're little or who gets to drive the truck when you're teenagers
exactly.
or who inherits the truck
exactly.
when you're adults.
That's right.
You know, we always have to negotiate with the folks that we have to share our lives with. And it can be frustrating. It can be exhausting. It can be the last thing we want to do. But if we want to get by and still keep these people in our lives, we have to do it. So what do you think makes it so hard to negotiate with the other people in your life? What is there a particular person, a particular subject that makes it really, really tough? What are those topics are that are hardest for you and that person to work out and negotiate with? We're here to help you do that today and feel better, feel empowered, have some more peace in your life, and not end up having to leave the European Union over it, or your own union.
That's right.
Because we want everybody together,
that's
unified,
right.
happy, healthy, and holy, and that's what we're here to help you do on More to Life today.
So hit you with those questions of the day that Lisa just put to you one more time. You know, what do you think it takes why do you think it's hard to negotiate with certain people in your life? And what are those topics that are hardest for you and the person you care about most to negotiate well? Whatever it is, we want to help you find ways to get on the same page. We're going to be presenting some different tips and ideas for negotiating effectively. One thing I want to tell you right up front, negotiating does not mean coming up with a solution that everybody is equally miserable about. Number one. Number two, negotiating does not mean one person wins and one person loses.
You know, and that's the problem. I think people are so terrified that, you know, if I even begin the negotiations, I might not get my needs met. I might lose in some way. That we hang on so tightly that we stop negotiating and we are just staking out our claim and that's it. And there's really no negotiating involved. And then we all lose.
Because the most common type of negotiation that I see in counseling with people is the quote-unquote, well, what I like to think is of a pseudo-negotiation where, all right, fine, I'll give in this time, mm-hmm. but you have to give in next time. And that's not negotiating, right? I mean, I don't know what that is. But it's not good.
Well, it's playing chicken, and it's, you know, deciding, well, you know, I'll check off this many boxes to leverage what I want. You know, it's very much a chess match. I'll give up this many pieces, but I'll get that big piece in the end. And we don't really ever succeed when we do that.
No, and you know, when parents try to teach that form of negotiation with their kids, we actually do them a real disservice. And I see a lot of married couples getting into a lot of trouble because they think that's what negotiating is. All right, fine, I'll give up what I want this time, but you have to give up what you want next time. And then what we end up with is a huge pile of bitterness and resentments and petty frustrations because neither one of us feels particularly attended to or taken care of. And it's really important as a part of any relationship, especially a deep relationship like marriage and family life, to know that you can go to this other person and that they'll help you build your hopes and dreams.
Exactly.
But if you can't, you know, if you can't trust them enough to go to them and know that when you say that something is important to you, that they're actually going to hear it out and work with you to help you get it, then you can't trust them on those deeper levels either. So it's a really important thing to be able to negotiate well. And that's what we're going to talk about today on More to Life. Again, what do you think makes it hard to negotiate with the other people in your life? What are those topics that are hardest for you and the person you care most about to negotiate well? Give us a call. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments and questions about negotiating with the people in your life at our Facebook page at facebook.com/more2liferadio. Again, that's with the number 2, facebook.com/more2liferadio. And whether you post on Facebook or you call into the program on our toll-free number. Your name will be entered into our Book of the Week giveaway drawing that happens on Friday. We're going to give away a copy of my brand new book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's a book that really talks about God's plan for our ultimate fulfillment, both in this life and the next. And it explores those seven divine longings that are hidden behind our deepest and even darkest desires, and how those longings reveal God's plan for our ultimate fulfillment. So you can pick that up in bookstores everywhere, especially online, but probably your local Catholic bookstore or other bookstore has it as well. Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, or you could just answer our questions of the day and see if you win it. Incidentally, tonight, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, I will be on Catholic Answers discussing Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart with Patrick Coffin. I hope that you'll tune in tonight to listen to that interview. Looking forward to spending some time with Patrick.
It's always a wonderful time to get to be with him. I love when we get to be with him in person. It's so great when you get to do the show
with him.
He's
a fun guy.
He's a wonderful person to spend some time with, and I know you're looking forward to that, yeah. So I hope everybody tunes in for that this evening.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions and unpacking the mystery of negotiation on More to Life today. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you, we praise you for pouring out your grace and wisdom on each and every one of us. Lord, you attend so generously to each and every one of our needs that before we even cry out, you have begun to answer. And you ask us to respond generously to all the people that you place in our lives so that they can receive a similar reception from us when they come to us in their need, that they know that we will hear them, that we will listen, that we will respond lovingly and generously as we can. Help us, Lord, to receive a similar generous reception from the people that you've placed in our lives, because in order to build the kind of community that your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, talked about in his Theology of the Body, we need to know that that generosity that is at the heart of a healthy relationship is mutual, and that we are working together to take care of each other. Help us, Lord, to fill in the gaps where our own generosity fails. Help us to bridge those gaps where our comfort zones become things that separate us, and a temptation for us to love ourselves and our own comfort zones more than we love each other. Help us to negotiate not only in good faith, but with your grace, so that we can create true communities of love where all of us are attending to each other's needs, so that each person gets everything that they need to become everything that you created them to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We are talking with you today about when you need to negotiate, you know, working through differences, solving problems, excuse me, coughing up a lung. All can be challenges when you both want different things. So today we'll examine what it takes to make sure you and your partner come out on top every single time. Give us a call and share. What are those topics that are hardest for you and the person you care about the most to negotiate well? 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments and questions at facebook.com/more2liferadio. We're going to go to a question here from a listener, but I just want to recap what I said earlier. Okay, the two things that ain't can be negotiation would be
Glad you have all those letters after your name.
I don't have a degree in English. I have a degree in psychology.
And theology. Yeah. Go on.
But anyway, the two things that do not constitute good negotiating.
There we go.
See, I can get there eventually. Number one, negotiating does not mean coming up with a solution that makes everybody equally miserable. Right. And number two, negotiating does not mean one person wins, the other person loses, as long as the balance sheet comes out okay in the long run and we both lose an equal amount of times. Both of those are terrible ways to negotiate anything. Don't do it. It will come back to bite you. Instead, call us, and we'll help you figure out how to do it better. 877-573-7825. Lisa, who's up?
Well, we've got so many really good answers on Facebook today. One of our listeners gives us two great answers. I'd like to break them up over the course of the show. I'm going to start with a really practical one. Her other answer gives us a lot of insight into why it's not working. She says, cleaning the house and how much money we need to be happy. I would like the house cleaner and more organized. My husband is not concerned with that, but he wants more money coming in that I think is necessary, and I'd rather have more time together and work less. So these are two things that you're really bumping up against day in and day out. You know, you're living in that house. If, you know, if the comfort levels are different, then somebody's always going to kind of be chafing at what's going on. Frankly, I think for somebody who doesn't care about clean and organized, too clean and organized can also feel as uncomfortable for that person as messy and not as clean is for the other who wants it very clean and organized. So you're constantly visually experiencing that 24/7. And the same with the idea of balancing that relationship to income ratio that we're all trying to balance. But this seems to be, you know, one of those day-to-day issues they're dealing with.
Yeah, and let me throw out a couple of thoughts on this. And you're right. I think that all the things we say throughout the program are going to help unpack some answers for what Carrie is asking about here. The first thing I want to say is that you know, both a cleaner house and more money in the bank account, you know, I think objectively most people would like both of those things.
Yes.
You
know, if I know personally, if I could wave a wand, I'd breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief.
That would be
a lovely day.
Superficially, that seems like a great thing, right?
That would be fine with me.
I think that almost universally, people can see those two things, a cleaner house and a better bank account, as goods, as things to that most people would want to some degree or another. Now, the one problem is we all have to kind of check ourselves in this, and I'm not saying that this is the deal with Carrie and her husband. I don't really know, right? But the one thing that we always have to check ourselves about, they are, as good as those two things are, they are also both opportunities for externalizing our stress.
What does that mean?
What I mean by
that, a clue what that
is that some people, it's not so much about having a clean house, that's how they deal with their stress. Or some people, it's not so much about having enough money to pay our bills, it's accumulating money is how I deal with my stress.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
that either of those things, if the house is cleaner, I feel less stressed, or the process of making it cleaner helps me to deflect some of that stress.
Right.
Having a lot of money in the bank makes me feel less stressed,
or
working very hard makes me feel actively like I'm beating off the wolf at the door, so that makes me less stressed. So both the process and the end result are something that's going to lower our stress.
Well,
we think.
Theoretically,
we
right.
Think.
But problem is that you know, you can get into this place where if the thing that's really stressing you out isn't the messy house or the bottom line in your bank account, mm-hmm. but, you know, other problems in your life, your house will never be clean enough for you to not feel stressed. You will never have enough money in your bank account for you to not feel stressed. And so, you know, one of the important things when you're beginning a negotiation is not to necessarily get hung up on the thing you're talking about. I always talk about clarifying the what. You know, that it's important to clarify the what. What do I mean by that? Well, the what is what you want. You know, what you say that you want. If I don't clarify the what, that means I'm going to ask you questions about what you want so I can really appreciate what you really want, which may or may not be what you're saying you want. Because if I say to you, honey, you know, how would having a cleaner house right now benefit you? Well, like, how would your life be better if our house was completely organized? And you said to me, well, then I would know where everything was. Okay, well, now, that clarifies to me that you really do want a cleaner house, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you said to me, then I could finally take a deep breath and relax because I'm just feeling so overwhelmed about everything that has to be done around here, then what I would know from that question is, you don't really want a cleaner house. You want permission to relax.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, and then what we need to do then is sit down and figure out how to get you the time that you need to relax, right? If you said to me, well, honey, how would having another, you know, $100 or $1,000 or whatever in the bank account, how would that make your life appreciably different? And I said, you know, I would be able to buy this thing that we really need for our house. Well, then I'm clarifying for you that, yes, indeed, that is a money thing, right?
There's a specific goal, and I can, once that's met, then, you know, that stress level will go down a bit because it's a tangible thing that we can...
But if you said to me, well, honey, how would having that extra $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is at the end of the month in the bank account, how would that help you out? How would that give you a better life? And I said, you know, I would feel like I would feel like I didn't just have to constantly, you know, find other work to do. I was always just, you know, I was finally just being able to relax again. I would just be able to kind of take a breath. Again, I'm saying to you that I need, you know, that yes, we're paying our bills, but I just need permission to relax or you know, to let myself off the hook, which is a whole different thing, right? You know, because if that's the problem, then, you know, $10,000 more in the bank isn't going to make me feel better because I'm never going to feel like I'm letting myself off the hook because I know that that could go away the next medical problem that we have or the next
whatever crisis
sure. that comes. So, you know, you want to clarify the what in these sorts of situations. Anytime somebody is asking you to do something or presenting you with a goal that you're not sure what the benefit of it is, you know, instead of arguing about whether you should or shouldn't do it, the next question out of your mouth ought to be, so how would your life be different or better if we did that? Help me understand what you're going for. And then the answer to that question is the what. It's what they really want. Okay? Then you can work to negotiate how to get them that instead of arguing about what they led with. We'll talk about more of these kinds of negotiating tips throughout the program. Call up and share, though. You know, what are those topics that are hardest for you and the person you care most about to negotiate well? Or, for that matter, who is the person that's most difficult for you to negotiate with and why? Let's help you break down some of those barriers and start negotiating more effectively on our show today titled, When You Need to Negotiate. Stick around for more to life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak and you coming up right after the break.
Johnette Benkovic here. Our retreat at Orchard Lake Schools will be here soon with our Leadership Institute July 16th, the retreat July 17th through 19th. Come for both or just one, a power-packed time. A healing service and veneration of John Paul II's first-class relic make this a special weekend. We've got commuter rates. Go to womenofgrace.com or call 800-558-5452.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEL in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's program is titled When You Need to Negotiate. you know, negotiating is a huge part of successful, healthy, happy relationships. I actually lay out a lot of rules for effective negotiating in my book, When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Lisa and I have a lot of similar negotiating techniques in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. But it's not, of course, just about marriage. Negotiating comes into parenting. I mean, sometimes you can think parenting is all about negotiating different things with the family.
24/7.
But negotiating goes to dealing with your coworkers, dealing with extended family. You know, where's the family reunion going to be, and who's going to bring what and why and whatever.
Coping with our adult children or adult parents who are perhaps in a stage where we have to help them make some decisions about changes in their life, and negotiating that with them where we see, hey, you should definitely go this way, mom or dad. And they're thinking, no, and just because, you know, you're an adult now doesn't tell me that I have to do
sure.
that. And it can get dicey because there's a lot of power play going on there. And everybody wants what's good for each other, but it's never really ever seen the right way by both people.
877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. What do you think makes it hard to negotiate with another person? What are those topics that are hardest for you and the person you care most about to negotiate well? Or for that matter, who is the most difficult person in your life to negotiate with and why? Let's talk about how to improve all of those situations. We are here for you. 877-573-7825, or you can post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. You know, these opportunities to negotiate, they're not just the things that grease the social wheels. You know, they're not just the things that make our relationships go better. They're opportunities to grow spiritually as well, as the theology of the body reminds us. That, you know, negotiating is all about the process of working out that mutual self-donation Pope St. John Paul the Great talked about, that idea of using our time, our treasure, and our talents in ways that are beneficial to each other, and both people, or whoever, whatever number of people are involved in negotiating, you know, really working to give as much of themselves to work for the good of everybody else in the group. That can be hard to do, because we want what we want, the way we want it, and we don't want to give any more than we absolutely have to, because then we're going to be a sucker or be taken advantage of in some way, and we all become very self-protective. And I get that. But then that gets in our way of being able to effectively negotiate in that spirit of generosity and love that we're all called to. So don't just see this as, you know, all right, fine, I'd like to get along a little bit better with so-and-so. This is really an opportunity to grow in grace and become more of the person that God is calling us to be. Each of these little moments is packed with spiritual power that God wants to use to transform your life, your heart, and the heart of your relationships. So let's work it out. 877-573-7825.
I love the fact that you're talking about the spiritual exercise in this, though, Greg, because think about, you know, some of the great saints, even some of the apostles themselves, who, you know, they were great at all sorts of holy things. You know, they could invoke the Holy Spirit and bring healing. They could convert 2,000 people at a shot. But when they had to negotiate with each other about a point of what they believed was how people should live, then things could completely break down. They could fight for years among each other, negotiating mm-hmm. that. And these were, you know, the holiest people in history. It was a spiritual exercise for them. That's where the humility comes in to negotiate. That's where the putting God before ourselves comes in. It is really a spiritual growth, and we've seen that from the very beginning.
Yeah, and now, throughout the program, I've referenced two really flawed ideas about what negotiation involves. I want to keep hitting this over and over again, because people have really convinced themselves that, you know, this is what it means to negotiate, and these are not negotiations at all. I don't know what they are, but they're not negotiating. The first one is the idea that negotiating means coming up with a solution that we can all be equally disappointed in. You know, if everybody walks away from the table equally miserable, then good job. Good job, self.
Well, and haven't we seen that after, you know, decades of lawyer shows on TV where people go in to negotiate the terms of a contract or, God forbid, you know, the disillusionment of a marriage, and it's all about, you know, who loses the least. But everybody turns out to be a loser. Who's going to lose the least? That makes us terrified of negotiating.
If you feel like you lost in the negotiation, then it was a bad negotiation. The second thing is that a lot of people think that negotiating means taking turns with what you want. And, okay, I'll give in this time, but you have to give in next time. And, you know, that can work when you're talking about whose turn it is to play with the video game, you know, whose turn it is to pick the restaurant or something like that. But that does not work when you're talking about, you know, well, I'll give in to you about how many kids we're going to have, but next time you have to give in to me on whether I can take that job or not. That's a whole different order of magnitude. And I see people playing that kind of stuff out all the time. And that just leads to resentment and bitterness and frustration and estrangement. Don't go there.
Well, I like the fact that you use the words playing it out, because it really does become a game where you're, you know, who has the most points, who's had to cave the most amount of times. It's so against the theology of the body to treat negotiation in that way, because the minute we do, it becomes objectification of the other. I'm going to give you what you want now so I can get what I want later. It's like living with a vending machine. I'm going to put in the quarters now so I can get the candy bar out after I push the button. That's not what we were created to be. We are not created to objectify, use each other as objects to get what we want. And the minute the negotiation goes into that, that's when we're going to lose, when we treat it like a game. But if we can think of the other as this person who was created to be loved in the image and likeness of God, and they can keep that in mind, everything's elevated, because you begin working for each other's good and working for a way to get that good into each other's lives, and you're taking care of one another and working for each other, and that's very different.
Well, you know, and that all sounds great on paper, but this program is all about unpacking that in real life and talking about what it looks like. So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and we'll talk about how to display those principles in your everyday life. We'll be talking with you about that when we come back from the break. Hang in. We'll be right back after these messages.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios, so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus presses them, "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples try to dodge the question, responding with what other people are saying about Jesus. In our world today, he does the same, calling Jesus a good teacher or a good man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some even dismiss him as a myth or a legend. But the Lord is asking us for our answer. Who do you say that I am? Not what academia, entertainment, culture, or politics have to say. You. It is your choice and your Holy Spirit-inspired answer. What do you say?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace. Power. Purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught." St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best, gently correct the wrongdoing, and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
More to Life, the show that helps you live a more abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about those times when you need to negotiate. Life is filled with negotiating opportunities, times when you and a person you care about seem to want different things, aren't sure how those things go together. We are here to help you apply these principles of healthy negotiating that we talk about both in When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and apply them to whatever your relationship situation is. We are here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Becky, listening in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Becky. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Hi, Lisa. Greg, thank you. I have a daughter-in-law I'm trying to need to negotiate with over babysitting and child care arrangements.
That's a tough one. What's going on?
Well, my granddaughter, there's two, and the older one is three, and I have a great love for her, and she's come to my house since she was born, but now she won't come anymore, and she won't get out of the car to come see me.
Hmm.
And the girl's mother, we've been worried about her because she's made it clear to everyone how she feels incarcerated in the house. She feels like she has no freedom with these two children. She needs to get out. And
oh, okay.
I've been unable to help her a lot because my mother's been sick, but my mother died. So I want to help her more. But the child doesn't want to be with me. The child is transformed dramatically from a beautiful, independent, loving child to a clinging, hold me, mommy, hold me, mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is now, Becky, I'm gonna get really, you know, I want to make sure Greg and I have a very clear picture of what's going on here. So you've seen this granddaughter of yours, this older one who's now three, frequently since she was a baby. But what you're seeing in your daughter-in-law is that suddenly she's not feeling real great about this stay-at-home mommy thing. Now, has this idea of hers of I'm feeling trapped in the house, I need to get out of here, has this happened just since the next baby has come, or has this been going on for a while?
Well, it got worse with the second baby. She felt more trapped.
And the second baby's how old now?
20 months. They're 17 months apart.
Yeah, so they're really close. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried about the mom.
I'm very worried about her.
So she's going through this, and of course, I have to say, to hear that your granddaughter is now clinging to mommy, that is an absolutely normal response for this little person who's now feeling less than secure about mom wanting to be there.
Right, so there's that, okay, and then you have on top of it mom feeling completely overwhelmed and burned out.
Right.
And so, and if she's saying to you that she's feeling trapped, you know, and this is not, I'm not blaming her at all, okay, I get it, this is a lot on her plate, but I know for sure that the kids are picking up that mom is saying, you know, just leave me alone for a minute, just leave me, you know, and the kids are getting that message
sure
of where she's kind of holding them at arm's length, which makes them even clingier.
Yes.
The harder she
yes.
pushes away, the more they need to try to fight back against that, and it becomes this very ugly cycle where mom is just trying to get away for a second and the kids won't let her at all. The more, you know, it's really
yeah.
undermining their secure attachment at all. I mean, she'd actually get more time to herself if she stopped trying to push them away quite so much. Does that make
yes.
sense? Yeah.
Oh,
but,
yes, that's what I see, but
right.
now it's like it's too late.
Well, yeah,
no,
I mean, it's never too
healed.
Late, but it is a serious problem, and it's going to get more serious if we don't do something good about this. Now, is there anybody asking the mom to get some professional help here? Because I think this is a situation that might be calling for that. I don't know if she's dealing with any postpartum depression or some kind of anxiety issues, but there's something more than just she's tired and overwhelmed.
Oh, yes, and I've tried and I've offered to pay for her to get professional help, but.
Mm-hmm. She's not interested. What about her? You said this is your daughter-in-law. So she's married to your son?
Yes.
Where's your son in all of this? Is he, you know, is he on?
A little defensive if I say anything. It's, and they want me to spend more time with the child and come and get the child. And the child's so clean now and cries.
Becky, let me ask you, what form of that does that defensiveness take? Because he's obviously trying in his own way to get her the help she needs. Mom, just take the kids, then my wife will feel better. Which
yeah.
is not
that's
true,
not
but that's
yeah.
what he's trying to do. So when you say, honey, she really could use some professional help here, what does he really say to you? What's his reaction to that?
Oh, anger toward me.
So
yeah,
he just says that's not true, she doesn't need any help, she just needs you to take the kids?
They're saying that it's a spell thing, that it's just, she's going to outgrow this.
Mm.
She's going to go through this. She's just going
to. So they're
in
denial about it. They're in denial about it. You know, I mean, all you can do is to try to provide whatever support you reasonably can. But it seems to me, like you said, that the three-year-old's fighting about that. You know, and the only thing you could really do would be to maybe go to the house and watch her there. But I don't know if they want you to do that. They want you to take her, you know,
take
the burden off their hands. But you
yes,
said that you have your mom that you're taking care of, too, though.
No, my mom was part of the problem. She was in intensive care, and I could not leave my mother to help. This the mother of my grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm free to do that. But this has come upon us, and the child doesn't want to be anywhere away from the mother. And
right. Even if you could be at the house to some degree, helping out whatever way you can. I mean, then the child can get more used to you in her environment. She might not want to come to you right away, but just kind of being there, part of the tribe, so to speak. She gets used to seeing you there, more comfortable with you just kind of being around.
Yes, yes, that's what we were talking about and negotiating that.
Yeah.
But one thing has come up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to help with her to go to school. Daycare or school at the Catholic church two or three days a week in August or
that's
September,
just gonna be a
nightmare. I don't think she's ready, and I'm thinking of negotiating about the pay. I was going to help pay that they need to let her wait maybe until January or maybe until she's 4 years old, and I know that they're going to come unglued with this because.
Well, they might have to come unglued because she's not ready. Based on what you're saying, it's just going to make it worse. You know, I think
I would really caution you, Becky, to not because there's a lot they're depending on you for here, and you want to do what's good and right. And I can hear that you know what's good and right. You can see this little one needs her mama. She needs mom to get her act together. And
yes.
instead, they're saying, "Mom, just be around." Take the pressure off of mom and pay for school so there's less pressure being on mom. And let's not really care what the three-year-old really truly needs, and you know better. And I'm going to ask you to really take this to prayer and ask the Holy
yes.
Spirit to strengthen you in what you know is better and make you the strong woman to be able to say, gee, guys, I'd be glad to help pay for school once she's gotten through this. I'd still be glad to pay for the therapy that you guys need to get her
good.
In this position. Work for the overall good of your daughter-in-law and this child, and in doing that also yes. your son-in-law, because he needs a whole and healthy wife and family here. don't cave in to the pressure, because
right.
that's not really working for
well,
their good. That's just making nice.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, they know that they need you in all of this, so they might get angry at you, and they might try to pressure you to do what they want you to do. But I'm going to encourage you, and Lisa's going to encourage you here, to stick with what you know is right, because, you know, if you don't budge, they'll eventually come around because they need you too much. So
okay.
if you can be reasonable about trying to meet, you know, their underlying concerns and present a reasonable way forward for them and the adequate support to achieve those goals, they'll come around to your side on it eventually because they need you. You know, they can't risk alienating you. Because they're just in a bad spot, right? So yes, it's going to be difficult for the time being. They are going to come unglued when you don't give them exactly what they're looking for. But giving exactly what they're looking for right now, that's the worst thing you can possibly do.
It's going to make it so much worse for all of them.
Yeah,
there are a couple of resources I do want to encourage you to have around and try to share with them. One is a wonderful, very beautiful, very easy-to-read book called The Science of Parenting by Margot Sunderland. That I think would really benefit your daughter-in-law to have around. It will speak to her about what your grandchildren, both of them, really are needing and telling her with what they're doing right now. And also there's a beautiful section on how to really get what she needs as a mom, the right kind of support, the right kind of outlets that she needs that will still support her relationship with her kids.
Well, and then we also have a book that I think will speak to these particular concerns. Our book, Then Comes Baby, the Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 3 Years of Parenthood, which really talks not just about baby care, but about how do you make sure you can take care of yourself and the marriage at the same time that you're taking care of your little ones. So that book goes into a lot more detail about negotiating all those different needs and making sure that everybody gets what they need to create a healthier, happier family. Again, that's Then Comes Baby, The Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 3 Years of Parenthood. So those two resources, Science of Parenting and Then Comes Baby.
And the other thing I'd love to see you do is, whether your daughter-in-law is nursing the new baby or not, and at this point she probably isn't or doesn't want to anymore, I would get in touch with a La Leche League group in her area, you personally, okay? Just call La Leche League, ask for the local chapters, explain the situation to the leader there and say, do you know of mommy support groups? Not necessarily nursing support groups, but mommy support groups that actually support moms in creating a harmonious relationship with their little ones. So, you know, moms who are struggling.
That.
It's amazing how much these Leche League leaders know in terms of really good resources to support moms. If she could have other ladies her age going through what she's going through say to her, you know, something's not great here, but we can help you through it, that would be huge. If you could go to her and say, well, I can watch her at your house for this amount of time if you can go to this group. I think you need this. The more resources you can give her at this point to show her that this is not how she has to be living, because she's not happy living like she's living, the better off she'll be. And, of course, give her our number here at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We're always here for her when she realizes that she's not happy and she can make things better.
Is that the 877 number?
No, actually, that's the call into the program. If she wanted to learn more about our telephone counseling practice or other resources, she could call us at 740-266-6461. That's to learn more about our counseling practice and other resources. 740-266-6461, or you can learn more at the website at moretoliferadio.com. Becky, I have to let you go, but thank you so much for the call. And we will add you guys to our prayer list here on More to Life. I'm sorry, we're late for our break, though. We have to go. We'll come back. More tips on negotiating effectively with the people that you love so that everybody gets what they need. Stick around for more on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak and you.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. 6 different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
When and how did Jesus allow some of his apostles to see him in his glory? After entrusting to Peter the keys to govern the house of God, the church, the Lord began to reveal to his followers that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, including death, but that on the third day he would be raised from that death. It is during this period, according to the Catholic Catechism, that he takes Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain and there unveils his divine glory for a very brief time. His clothing, his face become dazzling with light. He also reveals he must go by way of the cross in Jerusalem to enter his glory. All the Trinity is present for the Transfiguration. The Father in the voice declaring Jesus to be his beloved Son. The Son in Jesus, the Spirit in the cloud that covers Jesus. The Transfiguration gives us a window on Jesus' glorious coming and our own transformation from a lowly body to a glorious body like his. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about those times when you need to negotiate. What do you think makes it difficult to negotiate with the other people in your life? When do things break down? What topics are hardest for you and the person you care most about to negotiate well? Or, for that matter, is there a person in your life that you just can't negotiate with because they're just impossible people? Well, we're here to help you sort out all of those situations and find more peaceful and grace-filled ways to negotiate the differences between you and others. 877-573-7825. Let's go back to the phones with another question, Lisa.
We're talking to an anonymous listener right now, Greg, who's trying to negotiate something with his girlfriend.
Hey there. Welcome to More to Life, listener.
Thank you for taking my call. My girlfriend's part of a movement in the Catholic Church that has their own mass, and one of the things I guess that I'm having a hard time accepting is that during the mass they stand during the consecration, and for me that's just like I don't feel any reverence in that. They don't kneel at all during the whole entire mass. So I don't know what to do. It's something that I guess she's it's helped her in her journey with God. She'll still, go to Mass on Sundays, but I guess for her, she would rather go to Mass because their Mass is on Saturday evening. I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's something with me that I have to reconcile.
I think that it's important to kind of put some things in perspective, right? That we all have certain ways we like to worship, and might even say that there are certain ways of worshiping that hew a little closer to the rubric than other ways of worshiping, and that's all perfectly fine. Those are legitimate discussions to have, but it's also true that there isn't just one way to be reverent or to show respect, right? So, for instance, in the presence of a king, one stands. That's a way to show reverence for that king. In other situations, to show reverence, we kneel. In other situations, to show reverence, we do something else. The point is that there are different styles of showing reverence. There isn't one objective way to do it. Right? Again, we can make our argument that one way is closer to the rubric and maybe is preferred by the church or whatever, or preferred by us personally. Those are all fine discussions to have. But as far as getting along with your girlfriend and being able to worship together, it's important to be able to see the intention behind the action that she is doing and vice versa, and to not kind of apply apply an objective criteria where there isn't necessarily one. You know, this is one of those things, it's a preference, not a rule where mm-hmm. you can say this is the only way. It would be legitimate to say, you know, well, you know, for me, it's more reverent to do this than to stand, and you, that would be perfectly fine. But it's also not okay to necessarily say that, that she's not being reverent by doing what she's doing, as long as, you know, she's doing it as part of the community that is worshiping together. And assuming, of course, because I don't know anything about this group that you're talking about necessarily, assuming that the group is actually in line with the church, and assuming those two things, then, you know, then we have to be in charity say, well, that's just a different way of being reverent, and so when in Rome, I'm going to do what the Romans do, or when wherever she is, you're going to do what they do there, you know. So and to not make those those differences so big that they become huge obstacles. It's one of the ways that we end up dying to ourselves. Because, you know, going back before to what I said about clarifying the what, you know, your what is not so much standing or kneeling. It's reverence. You want to know that there's real reverence there. You want to be reverent. And so that's a good thing to want. That's a good what to pursue. And so what you need to kind of ask yourself, you know, is when you are with your girlfriend at the mass that she goes to and they behave as they do, you know, you're asking, well, how are you able to enter into reverence, you know, in that posture or in praying that way? How do you experience reverence that way so that maybe I can get a taste of it? You may never love it as much as she does, but at least you're coming to respect it by trying to see it through her eyes and appreciate it from that perspective as much as you reasonably can. And then, you know, hopefully you'll have a similar conversation when she attends Mass at the place you like to go. But what that's a little lesson in stepping outside of our comfort zones so that we can learn to love each other more than we love our own preferences.
The other thing is, I would remember that you two should be praying together and asking God to help you find a harmony in this together, and then rejoicing in the fact that you each found somebody who loves him together. The fact that the two of you have found good Catholic people who love each other and love God, try to build on those similarities and really build your prayer life together, because there are thousands of people who are listening right now who would just like to find what you have. So don't let the little things tear the two of you apart, but build on the blessing of the fact that you're a couple who really does love God and want to share your reverence with him, with each other, and the world.
All right, with that, I got to let you go. We have to head out of here, but thank you so much for calling in, and we will certainly lift you guys up in our prayer that God would help the two of you come together in worship of him. And folks, if you're having a hard time negotiating with the people in your life, give us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can learn how to work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you heal your marriage, family, personal life, all of those situations where negotiating can be difficult. Learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice at our website, More to Life Radio, or just call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line, 740-266-6461. God bless, folks. Have a great day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life. The life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Today's Gospel tells two stories of strong faith. A ruler came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "My daughter's just died. come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. What great faith he had. Ask God to give you strong faith like that. Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples and the crowd. On the way there, a very sick woman, who'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years, came up behind Jesus and the crowd and touched the fringe of his garment, saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall be healed." She had strong faith too, and Jesus